From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's Jesse Tapia filling in for James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to 4 o'clock right here on Sacramento Sports. Later, Jesse Tapia, of course, in for James Hamm, who is vacationing in Cabo. Broke the news yesterday of the Dennis Schroeder sign and trade. Jesse will be in all week. You can also hear Jesse on the D'Lo and KC program, which is next.
I'm everywhere.
$50 for a fitted now, dude.
Yeah, I haven't bought a hat in at least a decade, so I wouldn't even know what the prices are.
If I had
a
hairline like yours, I wouldn't either.
Yeah. Shout out to my barber, too, because really mine kind of starts to recede the corner a little bit, but he blends it in. Barbers are like one of the most important people in the world.
That is one of those things that I... Obviously, I'm bald, so I don't understand.
Yeah, no.
When my friend Randy, I'm gonna call him out. Sorry, Randy. My buddy Randy had the same barber for years. She moved on to different things, And he was like in a panic. He was like, "I gotta find a new barber." I'm like, "There are barbers everywhere. Just go to one." He's like, "You don't understand."
Oh, see, the fact that you even says this, like, it's not even like irritating, but it just makes my skin crawl. You can't do that.
No, and I understand. Like I said, this is one of those things. Like, I let you, hair people, fill in my worldview on this because I'll never understand it. There's no world where I'm ever gonna get it.
Yeah.
So I just let you guys. So I'm like, okay, bet, because I'd seen like people online talk about like their barber and stuff, but I didn't realize it was a very real thing.
Oh, yes.
And I've since then had other friends here in Sacramento whose barbers move or quit barbering or whatever, quit cutting hair.
Brother, I still go to Ceres to get my hair cut.
That's crazy.
I don't go like every week or whatever. It's just a matter of, all right, I'm back home this time. Maybe we'll get a cut now. So like sometimes my hair gets pretty
grown
out.
Have you tried to find somebody in Sacramento and you just can't? Or
I've never really took that step. Like I said, like I'll go back to Modesto maybe a couple times a month, go see my dad and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. So like that's enough time for me to go get a haircut twice a month and stuff, but never taking that step. Because the guy that cut my hair, shout out Jesus, he's been cutting my hair since he was cutting in his garage. Now he's in the shop cutting there.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And like he was my brother's friend too, so it's like putting money in his pocket.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I've had probably three barbers in like the last 15 years.
Man. I tried when I first started shaving my head bald. I lived in Elk Grove. Right next to like a salon that kind of did everything. And so I go in there and I ask the lady if she does straight razor shaves, and she says no, but I have this tool and it does it. And it was $50, and then with a little tip it's like $60 every time I go in there. And all she does is take an electric razor to my head. I was like, shoot, I can do that.
Yeah.
So I just started doing it.
That makes sense.
I didn't even try the going bouncing around to see if there was somebody cheaper who did the full like straight razor beard treatment, all that. I didn't even try.
Yeah.
Like that's free to do it at home.
See, and then this guy's like Joe Brazil, he's got a flow, but he's got the hat still.
Joe, are you a supercuts guy? You have
no.
Joe's not even a haircut. Joe's just got like I said, he's just got a flow. He just lets it back out.
I'm flowing. I've been flowing lately. Scissors. Yeah, flowing. That's I can say that.
That's fine.
I've been flowing lately. Yeah. That's cool. My hair has been going a little bit like that. I go through phases. So, like, I'll do long hair for 6 months and then back to short. Because you guys have seen me. I have had short hair. Like,
style it up and whatnot.
Joe just wears hats for the love of the game.
I love that.
I do.
That's a loop.
Yes. Rockland Barber, though. That's where I go. So, shout out Rockland Barber. It's right down over there.
Oh, yeah, man.
No, I'm not a supercuts guy. And, yes, I'm a little offended by that. It's okay, though. It's all good.
You just have a lot of hair, so I thought maybe you just go in like a quick trim, whatever.
I only get like two haircuts a year, realistically.
Wow.
Bro, yeah. My mom cut my hair one time and
that was it?
Yeah. Put three bald spots in the back of my head. Put the clippers down, lady. Put them down.
That's a
You know what it's like going to middle school with a messed up haircut?
I didn't start wearing hats because I'm bald.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in the hat game.
Yeah, yeah.
Since I find a picture of me when I'm 12, I got a hat on, right? That's probably part of the reason that my hair.
I'm the same way.
It just it's and every dude in my family is bald. Like I had no chance, right? Hats or not, I can't deal. Like a fitted used to be $25,
uh-huh.
And then went up to 30. Like okay, 30 for an on-field hat. That's not bad. Then the fashion hats started going up to 40. Now I went to Hat Club the other day because Hat Club does a lot of really cool, like exclusive, like they'll do throwback minor league hats or I'm big into the throwback scene, throwback MLB hats. They do like all this. And I used to go there pretty frequently online to look at what they have. I'm not paying $50 plus shipping for a fitted anymore.
Yeah, that's
I used to be able to tell my wife, like, look, I buy a lot of hats, but at least I'm not a shoe guy.
Yeah, that's at least 120.
Right.
At least.
And I used to be able to justify it. But now it's like, I buy two hats. That's like, I could have bought a pair of shoes.
Yeah. It's tough. It's all like just sports stuff now. It's like a pair of basketball shorts is going to cost you $90.
Dude.
It's like, bro, I just want some basketball shorts. That's it. I just want some Celtics shorts. Why are
ridiculous.
They, I don't want to play in these. I just want to wear them. Why does it got to cost me $90?
When you go, the thing that kills me is when you go to whatever team site, and the first thing they show you is like the on-court quality $400 jersey. Like, no, I'm not. Who needs that?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Show me that swingman edition with the fake stitching.
Shout out to the $20 jersey sites. If you know, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, shout out.
Yeah. Is the name going to be a little crooked?
Oh,
maybe.
I bought my dad a Jarvis Landry jersey and the nameplate was falling off. But hey, dad, you're welcome.
Are the numbers different fonts a
yeah.
little? Yeah.
I got a throwback San Jose Sharks one. It's just, none of it is just like, it's all just massive logo. The little stripes are huge or whatever. But you know what? I like it. Whatever.
As long as you like it. Hell yeah. What were we going to talk about?
Running backs. Awesome. Are they back?
The running backs matter in the NFL again. 49ers training camp begins in the next couple of weeks. Actually, 2 weeks from today, veterans report. We talked about some quarterback stuff yesterday. It's so interesting to me that we're now looping back because games and sports change in waves. That we're looping back to the age of the running back again.
Are we?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, make your point so I can disagree after.
Why did the Eagles win the Super Bowl last year?
Because Saquon Barkley took him over the top.
Mm-hmm. Because Saquon Barkley did that. Random running back A isn't doing that. I've been keeping up on Niners stuff, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so much of the preseason prognostication about the 49ers is like, oh, Christian McCaffrey. If Christian McCaffrey's healthy. You got Derrick Henry. You got James Cook breaking out for the Bills last year. And I just think not saying it's this year, but we went from the 49ers are insane for trading four picks, nothing higher than a second for Christian McCaffrey, to Christian McCaffrey, the 49ers' entire season rides on his health. And Saquon Barkley is the thing that got the Eagles over the hump to a Super Bowl. I think we're trending back toward, as defenses get smaller and lighter to combat spread offenses.
Yeah.
I think it's eventually, maybe it takes 10, 15 years, but you're going to see, and I think this is what the 49ers are going to do this year, honestly, is they're going to start compacting their offense. They're going to not spread things out, and they're going to go, all right, you want to put five corners on the field in your base defense, we're going to go two tight ends with a fullback, and we're just going to run the heck out of it. And I think that's going to be where the next offensive trend kind of goes. I don't think it'll look necessarily like the 70s where it's I formations and all that kind of stuff. Like, you've still got to be creative. You're still going to need pre-snap motion and all that. But I think at some point here, we're going to see a resurgence in the quote-unquote importance of running backs, because I think the gap is going to widen between the best ones and the worst ones.
I'm going to disagree with you, because I think there's like two guys like that. Like, Saquon and McCaffrey, sure. I think Saquon's probably more of that than anything. Like, he took the Giants to the playoffs with Daniel Jones and got him paid and all that. Like, that's Adrian Peterson type stuff right there. But I just don't think that these owners, GMs, whatever you want to call them, are just going to change their philosophies and start drafting running backs higher paying running backs now or anything like that. I feel like, because you mentioned James Cook. James Cook is honestly only as good as Josh Allen is taking the snaps behind him or whatever, like right next to him. Like, if Josh Allen wasn't there, like James Cook would be a great running back, but that's all he'd be. Like, he's not changing wins or anything like that. I think we've kind of passed that era where, like I said, maybe Saquon and McCaffrey are the only ones where it's like, these guys are going to add wins to your team, and like, this is exactly what you need. Like they're going to have that
Derrick Henry?
Like, he was with Tennessee. Like, they were pretty successful. Yeah, Derrick Henry. I'll give you Derrick Henry. I wanted to argue against it, but like, with Tennessee, he was taking Ryan Tannehill to the AFC Championship. So,
right.
Yeah, so I'll give you Derrick Henry right there. But that's only about three guys, and I just don't think we're going to get a lot of guys like that. I think we'll still see the three running back sets or whatever, where it's by committee and all that stuff. Or, yeah, maybe you're running the ball a lot more and stuff like that, but it's not just one guy still. I don't think it's ever going to get back to that.
James Cook had 16 touchdowns last year.
Really good. Really good. But I don't see him as like a Saquon or anything like that.
I agree with you right now.
Because like I said, if you took Josh Allen on the middle average quarterback or whatever there, like, they're parts. The Bills are just whatever at that point.
Maybe he was a bad example. But I think for this year, I think that's right. But I think what we're seeing is the start of a trend. I think the Lions are another good example where they had two really effective running backs last year. I don't think you could plug any running back in for the Lions and have them be as good as they were last year on the ground. I think David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs both specifically fit that offense and that system. And when the Lions got behind their offensive line, they got into the red zone, it was like night-night. They're going to score a touchdown here. And so when you look around the league and you kind of look at these trends and you look at the Eagles and you look at the Lions and you look at, I think the Commanders are another one. You look at any team Derrick Henry is on, you look at Christian McCaffrey, it feels to me like we're trending back toward. And again, it might take 10 years, it might take 15 years, but it's starting to look like that is the direction the league is going to be heading. And that is so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because 5 years ago, it was like, why would you pay any running back? Derrick Henry is as good as any two undrafted guys you could just sign for cheap, and it's not going to matter because quarterback play is going to matter above all else. And I think that's still true this year. I think it's probably true next year and the year after that.
Yeah, I just don't think the GM's never going to change their ways. Like, I don't think the running back is ever going to be like the focal point unless you get like this guy who's got Saquon, Derrick Henry, or Christian McCaffrey ability. Because I've kind of wrestled with this take too. Like, I don't know if running backs are as good as they used to be, or just more so, you got to be a lot different nowadays to play that position where you do have to line up in the slot or just kind of catch the football and all that stuff. Like, there's less LTs and Adrian Petersons, and you can throw like Hall of Famers out there now than there was before, I feel.
I think what you're alluding to is Adrian Peterson the last running back like that for you?
Probably.
Like, he's the last MVP.
Yeah, less dominant one, like truly dominant Hall of Famer type.
I think the main difference when you say, are they better now? I think it's just workload. Like, I really think that's kind of what it comes down to.
Like, they're getting less of a workload now, so that's why?
Yeah, at least that's how.
Well, yeah, because you look at guys from back then, like Ricky Williams, one of my favorite players of all time. Dude was getting 400 carries in a season.
Saquon Barkley led the NFL this year with 345 attempts. Derrick Henry had 325. Adrian Peterson in 2008 had 363 carries and did not lead the league.
So yeah, that's not happening anymore. So maybe it is just they're not getting anymore.
Maybe what I'm talking about is a different impact.
Yeah.
Like, okay, the workload's not going to be there, but when you go into a season, I think at some point in the not too distant future,
you're circling this guy was like, it's fine. Yes. Like, you're worried about the running back again, finally.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you.
That's, and because I think you're right. In this day and age, I just don't think the 350, 400 carry seasons are going to be viable. In fact, I think you might see a dip from Saquon this year.
Yeah.
Just because the defenders are bigger and faster, and just the car accidents you're getting in every time you get hit are taking a different toll on the body.
Yeah.
But it just, over the last couple of years, you just start to see the attitude shift from running backs don't matter to, well, if Christian McCaffrey's not healthy, or if Derrick Henry's not healthy, or if anything happens to Saquon Barkley, it's just like the impact at that position, I think, is becoming greater.
Yeah, there's more versatile now and stuff like that.
For sure. All that said, the 49ers offense rides on Christian McCaffrey. All due respect to Brock Purdy.
I guess.
Everything the 49ers do is built around Christian McCaffrey's versatility. Every single thing.
If Christian McCaffrey's hurt off and on this season, do you think they could still be successful?
What's successful?
Wild card team.
How many games do I get out of Christian McCaffrey?
Half the season.
Nine?
Yes.
Yeah. I think they could still win 10 games if Christian McCaffrey only plays nine.
Okay.
But if you're telling me you get three or four Christian McCaffrey games, and then I got a backfill with Isaac Garendo and Jordan James.
Well, yeah, because like, you're going to need McCaffrey out there just for the sake of, like, Brock Purdy doesn't have the greatest receivers right now. I'm not saying McCaffrey's going to play receiver, but you need that dynamic on offense right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right. That's Jesse Tapia. I'm Kyle Madsen. We'll get back into the Sacramento Kings. The Dennis Schroeder signing is official. I have something the Kings, I'm going to rewind when we come back. I want to throw something out there that maybe the Kings could have done, should have done. I don't know. Just a fun little thought exercise I want to do next. That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. More Kings, more NBA coming up next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse's over there. I'm Kyle. No James Hamm today.
Tomorrow either.
Or tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day. Dennis Schroeder still on the Kings officially. They tweeted about it.
Congratulations, Kings fans.
Shout out to Dennis Schroeder and the Kings. Devin Carter's going to play some point guard in Summer League. No movement on the Jonathan Kuminga front. That's how I know that it's Scott Perry doing stuff.
Explain.
I think if this was last year and Vivek was like, I'm going to put my hands in the basketball side of this, I could see him.
I'm going to get a Zach LaVine.
I could see him being so enamored with Jonathan Kuminga.
Yeah.
I don't know that. But is that not like,
well, it's like we talked about earlier with the Dennis Schroeder stuff. Like, you're kind of waiting for it to happen, and there's a reason why. Like, there's stuff from the past where it's like, oh, maybe it's not.
That feels like they would be going all in, like just full bore, whatever they can do to
get. Can you imagine? Yeah, but Vegas Ronnie Davis stepped in and gave up three first-round picks for Jonathan Kuminga. Gosh.
To get a Warriors guy.
And that'd be the thing, too. Like, getting a Warriors guy because he's got the Warriors connection and stuff like that, they'd hate him even more.
That's why I'm... But, like I said, I don't know.
Scott Perry,
I don't want to start putting... Like, I've been pretty critical of Vivek. I don't want to start putting stuff on him that's not there.
Yeah, no. So you're just talking right now.
Just yapping.
Kyle's got thoughts. That's all it is. Kyle's just a little scared.
Takes, bro.
That's it.
Loose cannon with the takes. A couple things we didn't get to yesterday in the Western Conference. The Suns are working on a Bradley Beal buyout. And if there's there's any chance you can get Brad Beal and the Kings if you're talking about trying to win this year.
We were just talking about a logjam at guard.
Better than be their second
you said
best
I
shooting
can't,
guard.
You said I can't move Devin Carter to the bench.
Be their second best shooting guard.
LaVine's better?
Than Brad Beal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
Brad Beal is kind of, he's been hibernating the last couple of years.
I don't think Brad Beal is going to play for the Kings.
No, he's not.
But.
But I do think Brad Beal still has something left.
That's it. What's going to happen here is Brad Beal is going to sign with the team for some amount of money. It's not going to probably be a lot.
Yeah.
But it's going to get hand-waved because the thought is Bradley Beal's washed. I don't think Bradley Beal is washed. I think he's probably not an all-star anymore. But his contract was prohibitive. Like, his contract was the problem.
Well, Brad Beal has been on a team for 2 years where it was just a horrible fit.
Yeah.
Like, where it just made no sense from the jump.
Yeah, off
like
the
you route. Brought in Bradley Beal, KD, and you had Devin Booker. It's like, oh, who's your point guard? One of them. What's the big deal? I didn't work. You fired coaches, blah, blah, blah. And then this year, it seemed like there was a lot of infighting. Just not with the whole team, but like you had guys like Nurkic and all that. Budenholzer got let go and all that stuff. Like, It just didn't fit. So I wonder if, like I said, it's just he was hibernating for 2 years. Now you get him to a spot where it's like, okay, Brad Beal actually works here. Like, you get to see the old Brad Beal again.
I think he's going to go somewhere and that's what's going to happen. Maybe not the old, like, peak Brad Beal.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, because he's never going to, he's not going to be the focal point of a team now.
He's going to help a team win games.
Yeah.
That's going to be, I'm really interested to see where he winds up landing. Another Suns question, just while we're here.
Big Sunshine.
Devin Booker agreed to a 2-year, $150 million extension that keeps him in Phoenix through 2030. I'm going to throw some numbers at you. His salary this year, $53.1 million. Next year, $57 million. The year after that, $61 million. Then the following 2 years, it is a $75 million average annual value.
Yep.
Split that $150 million up, however that's going to get split up. Is that a bad contract?
No, it is a good contract.
Why?
Because everyone else is going to look like that at some point. Like, Devin Booker is just the first. It's like he's making $75 million per year. Like, Devin Booker's a great player. Olympian, gold medalist, almost champion. Stuff like that. But, like, he's a great player and all that stuff. That's going to be the going rate for players in a few years. We're going to see more deals like that. Like, Jaylen Brown got the highest paid deal in the history of the NBA, and it was a horrible deal, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, oh, that guy passed
up. Yeah, it's just, yeah, it's who's next.
Yeah, it's just, like, I don't think it's a bad deal. You're going to see more stuff like that. He's just first right now.
It seems like he's just hell-bent on being on the Suns his whole career.
Well, that, and he's hell-bent on getting $75 million per year, because I don't think he'd be able to get that from anywhere else. Yeah, probably not. But he's a good enough player where, like, the players that we will see getting those kinds of bags and all that, like, Booker belongs with them. So I'm not going to fight or anything like that.
That's what I've wondered this about the NFL, and I think we're starting to see it. Where for a while, it was the next quarterback up is going to be the highest paid player in the league. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter who it is, you pay that guy. And now we've seen that not be the case with Tua.
Well, yeah, Dak Prescott kind of messed that up, though.
Yes, with Tua and Jared Goff and now Brock Purdy. It's not just the next guy is going to get the biggest contract.
Yeah.
With the aprons, I'm so interested to see if teams start really reevaluating who's worth those deals and who's not.
Well, we kind of saw it already with Dallas, right? Isn't that part of the reason why they shipped off Luka? I know, well, it's the whole defense and blah, 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 but there was always the aspect, like, are you going to pay this guy that much money for the fact, like, just based off the fact that you don't even necessarily believe in him to win you a title?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I feel like we've kind of seen that already.
I disagree with their assessment.
No, yeah.
But that's exactly what it is. So I wonder, and let's, the Luka thing is so stark because that's like what, he's one of the three or four best players in the league. Uh-huh. What are you doing?
Yeah.
But I wonder if we see, God, I can't even, I don't want to, I think we're seeing the Warriors have this assessment with Jonathan Kuminga. I think we've seen the way the Rockets have operated with their extensions, for their rookie scale extensions. I'm having a...
Well, it's like, look at this offseason. This offseason's been boring as hell. Like, nothing has happened. It's like, a lot of it's because, like, the CBA stuff, I feel.
Oh, big time.
And it's like, you're trying, the NBA's looking for parity and all that stuff, but now it's kind of like, all right, it's starting to hurt it. Everyone's just kind of standing pat. Nobody wants to sign anybody.
Yeah. And now, yeah, I understand why they did the apron thing, and I understand why all the owners were on board, because it gives them an excuse to not spend money. But... Man, just super prohibitive.
Yeah, but I don't mind the Devin Booker contract, though.
All right.
Shout out Devin Booker.
All right.
Do you the Devin Booker contract?
Nah.
Say it's bad, Kyle.
I don't know if it's bad. I just don't know how I feel about Devin Booker.
He's
very, very good at scoring the basketball, for sure.
Top 15 player in the league?
No.
You said that emphatically too, damn.
Not just off the rip, when I'm thinking the top 15 dudes, Devin Booker doesn't come to my mind. If we made a list, he might land in there. But it'd be toward the bottom, I think.
I got you.
I don't know. Maybe my feeling on Devin Booker and the Suns has just been clouded by how nasty their last couple years were.
Yeah. Aldridge brings up a good point. Like, you don't really have a choice either. You got to pay Devin Booker, right?
If you're the Suns in this specific situation, I think Aldrin Jay is right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can, because of where you're at as a franchise, you just traded Kevin Durant. If you now punt Devin Booker, who's beloved in Phoenix and who by all accounts wants to be in Phoenix, if you now punt him, this is where James always brings up the business side. And I don't always like talking about that, but he's 100% spot on with it.
Yeah, because it matters at some point.
It does. And this, in this case, that's where that matters. Because if you trade Devin Booker, The Kings trade Zach LaVine this offseason for picks. It's not changing their attendance. I don't, at least not dramatically.
Yeah.
If the Suns trade Devin Booker for picks and filler, I think that's dramatically impacting the Suns' bottom line.
Yeah.
So I do agree with that. I think they had to do this. I'm interested to see over the next couple of years if the Suns haven't dug out of this rut and they're not making the playoffs.
I don't got
much. If they have an easy or hard time trading Devin Booker.
Yeah, I don't have much faith in them figuring this out, so we'll revisit that in a couple of years.
While we're here, just to rewind it a year, salute to Devin Booker's Olympic performance.
Yeah.
He was outstanding.
He was great.
He was so freaking good.
Yeah.
He was really, really good.
Don't disagree at all.
I'm worried about his contract. I don't think it's bad.
You're a hater.
Just a little worried about
You're a hater.
No, I'm not.
This is the thing you were doing with Joe Burrow, too.
No, good player. I just knew.
No, don't say good player. Stop. Don't do that. I'm just doing this pen at you right now. No, he's better. He's elite.
You know, he's good.
He's elite.
Yeah. He's in a tier by himself.
No, he's in a tier with three others. All right? Leave Joe Cool alone.
All right. It's fine. It's just one of those things I can't explain it. It's just in my bones. I don't, I'm not like, man.
Can't let him get the ball. We all got those players too as sports fans.
It just doesn't, and like I said, logically, I get it. Yeah. I don't even argue with people. That's why I don't like to say the take out loud. Just like, whatever people are like, Joe Burrow, top three. I'm like,
Oh, why are you so quiet?
What? I didn't say nothing. Last Kings thing, and then I want to get to this Le'Veon Bell tweet. Should Scott... I feel like...
Oh, boy.
All right. I'm going to go back to something Kenny was talking about.
All right, let's talk.
Should I save this for Kenny? He's coming in for the handoff.
Is he? Because we didn't have anyone yesterday, so who was on Friday? Kenny was here on Friday.
So it was going to be Dame yesterday.
I'd assume it was Damien's day today.
I'll just do it. I'll just do it now. Kenny's probably listening.
He can, yes. Kenny's definitely listening.
Circle back on it.
Maybe Kenny will walk in because he's hearing this right now.
So I that would be tight. He said yesterday that Scott Perry's two steps ahead because he gave the Warriors a lowball offer.
Yeah.
I disagree. I think he is just on the same plan. Like, he's following along. I don't think he's two steps ahead.
I think...
Do you know what I think would have been two steps ahead? And this is where my brain goes when I hear that. Because I don't think Scott Perry has done anything in the Jonathan Kuminga situation that is like, whoa, like mind-blowing GMing. Like, no, he's done the right thing. What would have been wild is if he figured out a way to unload Zach LaVine's contract with three picks, however many it would have taken, to Brooklyn for Cam Johnson, opened up like $26 million or whatever the difference would have been, and signed Kuminga to an offer sheet.
Yeah.
That to me would have been two steps ahead.
Yeah.
That's where that's like, but, okay, making this move to make this move because we know that there's not going to be a market for Jonathan Kuminga and we know the Warriors don't want him, so we're just going to sign him so they can't trade him.
Yeah. I can see, like, if you wanted to call Scott Perry two steps ahead on this little deal that they're working on with the Warriors, like, I can see that if they were to finish it up, it's like, yeah, it's Scott Perry, like, just do the Warriors, had nothing else, forced their hand, and they ended up taking Dario Saric, Devin Carter, and 2 second-round picks. Like, if he ends up, or even if he ends up getting Jonathan Kuminga still on the cheap or whatever, like, on a low-ball offer, where it's maybe you do add a first-round pick, whatever, you're still giving up Carter and Saric, like, that's not really much. Like, I can see that, but he's got to get the deal done. And then with that Cam Johnson stuff and all that, yeah, that's a nice scenario, but
I wanna put a pin in my Cam Johnson thing.
Yeah.
You said something interesting there. You said he's gotta get it done. So if they don't get Jonathan Kuminga, are you putting that on Scott Perry?
No, but it's just I can't say he was two steps ahead. Like, just no deal got done. That's just negotiating to me. Like, they just tried to negotiate, nothing happened. I think in order for Scott Perry, like, to get over on someone or just to trying to be the one who went out here, he's got to get the deal done. Otherwise, they just talked. At least that's how I see it.
All right. If there's any Jonathan Kuminga news, we'll have it for you. And hopefully Kenny can pop in so we can talk more about that. That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. Joe Brazil's over there. We got like 5 minutes before we got to pay some bills.
You got something you've been wanting to talk about since
I do. I do. Le'Veon Bell, who sucks.
Great running back.
Tweeted something yesterday. And I just, as a person, I studied mass communications, or the study of mass communications. And I'm so fascinated by people's like media habits and where they choose to get their information or whatever it is. Le'Veon Bell said, unpopular opinion. News should be a dry recitation of facts. If it isn't, then it's an opinion intended to stir your emotions into clouding your judgment. I don't think that's an unpopular opinion. I think that's just what it is. But I want to leave news out of it, like real life news, for at least the moment. Because I think where we see this the most, obviously in the real world, the blending of fact versus opinion is more significant than in sports. But I think in sports, it's more prevalent.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like, anymore anyway, there are that many people who do like sports and news. I don't feel like in the sports world, what would you consider a sports news program?
Doesn't exist anymore. Sports Center, maybe, because they're showing highlights and stuff and just kind of keeping you updated. But I mean, maybe.
But even that,
because like you're still like bringing on Ryan Clark and stuff like that to break games down. Like it's a lot less of just highlights and breaking, like just updating what's going on.
It's a lot more opinion.
So, yeah, it's a lot more segment now and stuff like that.
And even if you're watching the most bland Sports Center, they're showing NBA highlights because they want you to watch their NBA games.
Yeah.
They're showing WNBA highlights because they want you to watch WNBA games. They're negotiating with Major League Baseball right now for MLB rights. If they get the right, they want you to watch it. So they're not just going to be like, hey, here's the thing that happened. They're going to try and put some spin and some flavor on it to make it interesting to you. And I don't want to say it's a problem, but I think the way, because the line between journalist and fan is just so blurred now.
Yeah.
Like I am a 49er fan who got an offer to be a contributor at NinersWire.com. I was ostensibly promoted to the managing editor of TitansWire.com when they launched that site. And then I moved over to a managing editor role at NinersWire when that role became open. I feel an obligation to be down, like a down the middle or objective.
Yeah.
Objective. I feel an obligation to readers and listeners in my podcast to be that. But I would not call myself a journalist. I wouldn't call my website a news site. And I don't know, man. I think it's bled into real news, and I think it's bled into the way I think people consume real news, the way they consume sports news.
Yeah.
Where you, if you're a Kings fan, you're not going to go to Kevin Pelton on ESPN to get his thoughts on the Kings. Like, no, you're going to go to the Kings beat. You're going to listen to James Hamm. You're going to listen to D'Lo and KC. You're going to listen to this show. You have your local outlets where you're going to go listen to stuff about the Kings. I don't think it should be considered, I don't know. It bothers me that somebody thinks that it's an unpopular opinion, that news and opinion are different. Because like, they very much are and should be.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is they're not anymore.
Well, yeah, and I feel like with just sports, isn't that sports is all just opinion, no? As far as like if you want the news, go look up a box score and stuff like that.
Yeah, it feels like more like news is more about like, okay, so what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the analysis of the ripple effects of this news in sports? And you're right, there's definitely like a lot of opinion and whatnot, but like you see when somebody breaks down tape online, people are like, this is the content I want, this is the content. But like 80% of people don't want that.
Yeah, but I think that's just on us to go find it, though. Like, I think that stuff exists.
Mm.
It exists. Maybe it's just less frequent or whatever, but I think that stuff's out there. It's just a matter of you got to go seek that out now.
Open this can of worms with not enough time left. Maybe we'll circle back to this and I can collect my thoughts. That's Jesse. I'm Kyle. I'm going to call out Kenny for the handoff coming up in a couple of minutes. That's Joe Brazil. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Jesse's there. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. My mic on?
Yeah, I think so.
What was the first sports video game you ever played?
Probably. There was this old soccer video game. It was like NFL Blitz, but it was like FIFA.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember what it was called. I used to play with my cousin back at my grandma's house.
It was called CONCACAF. Am I right?
Low key, yeah. Watching Honduras versus like Guatemala play or something like that. But yeah, it was an old soccer game like that. I guess first like legit football games like Madden 2003 with like Marshall Faulk on the cover or something like that.
That was when I got a PS2. I grew up very lucky. My mom worked at Sony. I had a PlayStation.
Oh, that's fine. You were one of the cool kids then. I went to school with a kid who worked. His mom worked at Sony. He had all the PS2 games and all that stuff.
Oh my gosh!
We'll talk off air about this.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
You're like that guy that's like my dad owns Microsoft, but like your mom actually works for Sony.
Yeah, she worked at Sony.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Madden 02 with Dante Culpepper on the front was the first game I had there. But I also remember NFL Game Day. I think it was 98 with Jerome Bettis.
Yeah.
On the front.
Okay.
Had that. But we were talking at the break. We were talking about MVP Baseball 2005.
Yeah, the soccer game I was playing, I think it was called Red Card, by the way.
Red Card.
Literally like you know, hey, Slugfest. Slugfest was like that. The baseball one, like stuff like that. Yeah.
I hated that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was
I thought I was going to love it. Did not like it whatsoever.
Maybe you weren't very good.
No, it's fine at it. It just didn't. Just didn't hit. Didn't hit the way NFL Blitz did. NFL Blitz not on N64?
No.
That was the best.
Shout out. My grandma used to have the N64. I think she had WCW versus like NW or some wrestling game like that.
Doug Peterson was the Eagles quarterback.
Did you? Hey, shout out to anyone who's ever played NFL head coach. The worst game of all time.
Oh my God. All time heat check. By our
bro, I could never get past the second preseason game.
What a boring thing. Hey, all the worst parts about playing in the NFL, you want to just
I'm
do
out here
that?
Coaching up the third string Dolphins quarterback in preseason game number two. It's like, I'm done with this. I'm going to go play Madden.
It's Jesse Tapia, Joe Brazil behind the glass. I'm Kyle Madsen. Damian Barling of D'Lo and KC is going to join us here shortly.
Can't
for the handoff.
Anything.
Oh, I don't
there
wanna,
we go.
Hey, we're back. Are we back?
No, it's the
not,
computer did not want to log in.
Don't take this the wrong way.
Oh, this will go great.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little bummed you're here.
Oh.
I wanted to call
that's
out.
Tough. Kenny.
Oh, okay.
I was really looking forward to getting in a shouting match with Kenny.
Well, he's here.
Hey, there's John. No, it's okay. I'm going to run my thought by you.
Okay.
I completely disagree with Kenny's take yesterday that Scott Perry's two steps ahead. I think he's just on a normal track.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
He's on the normal amount of steps.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't passionate enough about his feelings on that to, like, fight him on it. I think he's given Scott a lot of credit, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Like, I don't think Scott has done anything to ruin anyone's mm-hmm. belief in him. Or, Kenny feels passionately about Scott Perry. Obviously, he's a Knicks guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's fine. You can yell at him about that.
I don't want to yell at him about it.
Oh. Sounded like you did.
It kind of did.
Yeah,
shouting match? Shouting, yelling, not same thing.
It seems like you were ready for the smoke.
But not shouting at him.
You called him out. You called him out on the radio.
You called him a bitch. I heard you.
Yes, he did.
Jesus.
He did.
Yeah,
did not,
that's what I heard.
Never disrespect.
Jesse heard it.
Like
yeah,
that.
You
like,
definitely said that.
Say that, chatty house.
We can cut that to where you did say that.
Jesse can make anything work. Jesse's like our own version of AI.
I cut a clip where the Kings drafted Lonzo Ball. All right, we can make this happen.
Yeah, true story.
Shout out to the redraft summer.
We could do it.
Oh man.
Scott Perry's doing just fine.
Yeah, that's it. He's doing great.
I don't know.
Here's my two steps ahead to me would have been trading Zach LaVine and picks to Brooklyn for Cam Johnson, opening up cap room and signing Jonathan Kuminga.
You know what the problem with that is?
What's that?
Brooklyn doesn't want to do that.
Sure.
Like
But that's the type of move to me that I view as like, oh, wow.
Here's what I think Scott, I think, understands the market.
Yes.
I don't know where they are with Jonathan Kuminga. I certainly have my feelings about what's gone on the last couple of days. I don't know where they are in those conversations. I also wouldn't, like, it's a little like Monty McNair, and Kings fans don't want to hear this. I don't think he's not trying. All of the stuff that you're yelling about, all of the stuff that Kings fans are angry about, why don't we trade this person? Why don't we trade that person? Why is he here? Why don't we do this? We got to get rid of it. I think he's tried to do all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this league.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what this free agency has looked like.
Yep.
I may not agree with Draymond Green on very many things, but the collective bargaining agreement and this free agency, he's been spot on about from jump.
Mm-hmm.
When that collective bargaining agreement was signed, he said this is going to screw teams who've built themselves the way that we have. Everyone keeps talking about Oklahoma City and this dynasty and this window that they've opened up. Okay. All right. We'll see what that looks like.
Because wants to pay Chet.
Oklahoma City isn't going to be afforded the luxury that Joe Lacob and the Golden State Warriors were afforded.
Mm-hmm.
They snuck by with that incredible Steph Curry deal, were able to land Kevin Durant, signed Steph to that big deal, and this is where I'll always give credit to Joe Lacob. He said, if we're winning, I'll pay.
Mm-hmm.
Those aren't options anymore,
right?
At least not like they were before.
Right.
You can win, and you can pay, but the ability to sign a bought-out player, the ability to sign all of these free agents who, like, I just want to join a contender, the ability to have, you know, minimum guys, draft pick, all of these different things that the Warriors went through before this, that's dead.
Yep.
So that's why I've been slow to anoint, OKC, they're the next this, they're the next
for
that.
Sure.
Nah, I don't think that they are. And that's the asset management, the draft asset management of Sam Presti is going to be the most important thing that he does over the next probably 7 years.
I think a lot of the OKC stuff is that projection of, well, they're just going to be able to replenish.
No, they're not.
It's just a massive faith that all these first and second round picks, they're going to turn them into more rotation
guys. One of the
most
under-talked about things this summer, because it was a given, no one, SGA signed that massive contract.
Yeah.
That's the first domino.
Right.
That's the first domino to fall. You've got two more.
Mm-hmm.
And does Sam Presti stop and cut the dominoes off right there? Go, yeah, I don't want you're going to reset these here a little bit. Right. Now I'm going to lose Chet. Or I'm going to lose J-Dub. Mm-hmm. I have to lose somebody because I can't pay them this.
Right.
And it wouldn't shock me if they came off of their first round draft picks next year.
Mm-hmm.
But then the year after, they're starting, we need to. We're gonna take some of these guys because there's gonna be a point where we might have to let someone go, and it's not gonna be SGA.
Yep,
you're gonna have to build everything you're doing around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and I don't know how many capologists Sam Presti has on his staff, but he better double it because that is the new era of the NBA. I believe there is a lot more Scott Perry wants to do. I believe there's a lot more that the league wants to do. I think the league is scared to death of acquiring or signing a player to a contract that's going to put them in a difficult spot for the next couple of years.
Oh, and I think that's especially true when you watch the finals this year. Because, I think depth was a massive advantage for both of those teams.
Yep. And you saw the moves Denver made.
Yes.
Denver moved off of someone to acquire more depth.
Yes. And that's why I don't think you see Giannis being traded, because I don't think the market would be there that would make it worth it to Milwaukee to trade Giannis, because every team knows, okay, we can acquire this dude, but we're going to gut all the depth that would make us competitive with him.
There's speculation, and maybe there's a tinge of reality. I don't know that the entire speculation lives in reality, that LeBron James doesn't have a market.
Yeah.
Like, again, I don't know if that's real or not, but when you look at the landscape of the league, acquiring a $53 million player is really difficult unless you have a $53 million player that you're just willing to move off of and you're doing a straight swap.
Best I could do is a Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine and Keon, who says no?
Come on, I don't know if I'm not including Keon now. Hang on.
You swap LeBron for Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, straight up. That's what we've talked about that. Like, if he's going to the Knicks, you've got to.
That's the one.
That's how you do it. You don't give up. Don't take away from your depth that got Indiana where they are, that got Oklahoma City where they are. You need to just swap these guys out. If you believe LeBron is still at that level and can win you a championship, just swap the guys out.
Right. Because the other alternative is aggregate a bunch of salaries to $53 million.
And then guess what?
Now you're the Lakers. Congratulations.
Yeah, you're lacking depth. You're what you were last year.
Also, the LeBron thing is so silly to me.
What?
That whole statement, like that whole, then don't opt in.
Then don't opt in. That was a miss by Rich Paul. Yeah. I'm not, like, what? It was just a miss.
He's making $53 million. So, okay, he's on the Lakers, who are not terrible.
No.
But any team he goes to, barring a Karl Anthony Towns swap, is just going to be some facsimile of the Lakers.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
That one bothered me.
I don't think Clutch and LeBron have had too many missteps. Mm-hmm. I don't think LeBron, he wears the decision, which Rich Paul is involved in too. That whole odd statement on an opt-in felt very weird.
Yeah, like we're watching their moves closely. Yeah,
come on.
What do you think the plan was? You missed. Force them to trade him?
Maybe. Buzz?
What does that even mean?
Maybe on notice? Like, I don't know.
Because I know me, like, he's going to get traded, blah, blah, blah. He wants to get traded, blah, blah, blah. It's like, all right.
We talked about this, too. Like, they operate like a mom and pop shop.
Right.
The Lakers, they always have. That's about to change.
Yeah.
You got big tech coming in.
Yeah.
Business is about to pick up for the Los Angeles Lakers. It's going to change.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if, I know Jeannie still maintains governor status, which means she owns 15% of that team. Mm-hmm. But someone else owns 85.
Right.
And if that person who owns 85 says, "Hey, Rob's got to go," I need the Rambuses out of here.
Linda Rambus can't hang out here anymore, Jeannie.
Yeah, you start to break down that trust wall that she's insulated herself with over the last couple of decades, and LeBron is part of that trust wall.
Man. That's wild.
There's a lot of layers to this Lakers thing. It's just, I don't think the new ownership, I don't think that stuff kicks in so quickly. Mm-hmm. But, LeBron's time is limited, and I'm with you. He missed.
Yeah. Yep.
Rich missed.
D'Lo and KC are not going to miss, and you shouldn't miss that program. They're up next. What do you guys got coming up?
Trista Crick at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. That's always fun. Sometimes she stays an hour. And some change.
Trista Crick will be here for some amount of time.
Yeah, a pretty lengthy amount of time. And then probably just a lot more of this.
Awesome. Yeah, can't wait.
A lot more of this.
D'Lo and KC should be a fun one. You can hear Jesse Tapia on that program. Jesse back in with me tomorrow for James Hamm. That's Joe Brazil. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube, here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. And until tomorrow at 10 a.m., drink water. Be nice to people. See you.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.